Good morning. It's good to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to come and want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we pray for His Holy Spirit to bless us in that. Want to, Brother Elder Chris Capps will be bringing our communion message instead of Elder John Eichhorn. They are still in West Virginia and didn't want to tempt the snowstorm that they were experiencing there. So keep them in prayer and all those that are out this day and need our prayers. But we do welcome you in His name. Call to worship comes from Doctrine and Covenants 59:2e. I would like to expound on that. Thou shalt offer a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in righteousness, even that of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And that thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world, thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments upon my holy day. For verily this is a day appointed unto thee to rest from thy labors and to pay thy devotions unto the Most High. Nevertheless, the vows shall be offered up in righteousness on all days and at all times. We have the opportunity this day to partake of our Lord's broken body and spilled blood. We are close communists, and that means that we do not have the authority to offer you sacrament if you haven't been baptized and entered into that covenant. But we would like to have the opportunity to share with you, and we do welcome you here to this service of worship to our Heavenly Father. We do welcome those on Zoom, if we have anyone, and also want them to feel the Lord's Spirit. Let us continue then in worship. Hymn number 104, We Would See Jesus, and our invocation would be brought by Elder Eldon Preston. Hymn number 104.
Let us rock. loving Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you as your covenant people, seeking your presence, Father, seeking your face. Please make your spirit evident within us today, evident within all that we do, evident within our lives. Be with us in this service as we seek to honor and glorify you, all the things that are done in your name. Be with the speaker of this hour. Let him speak freely. Let him be filled with your spirit. And let us have willing ears and a willing heart to hear and receive. Bless us as we gather around your table. Let us say, truly it is good to be in the house of our Lord. Let everything we do be consecrated to the wellness of our souls. See these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
As we continue in our preparations to participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I'd like to read from section 17. It is expedient that the church meet together often to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And the elder or priest shall administer it, and after this manner shall he minister it. He shall kneel with the church and call upon the Father in solemn prayer, saying, O God, eternal Father, as we have met this day to come before our Heavenly Father in this service, might we continue to recognize his blessings unto us as we participate. Let us, in preparation, then use hymn number 272, How Pleasing to Behold, and the table will be prepared before us. 272. Blessing is read upon the bread May we kneel as much as possible facing the altar.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Is there anyone that needs gluten-free?
Thank you.
Again, let us kneel as the prayer of blessing is read upon the wine, as priest Bob Davis reads that blessing. Let us kneel.
O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Has anyone missed their portion of the bread or the wine? As we now prepare for the oblation and offertory, we recognize the great offering that our Heavenly Father made for us through His Son. What will be our offering unto Him this day and for the rest of our lives? Will the priesthood come forward, please? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we have partaken of your spilt blood and your broken body. And now we have an opportunity to give a portion of our what you have given us back to you. Father, we know that all you want is a contrite spirit and a broken heart. And Father, help us to do that. But we have a desire to be instruments in your hands in this part of your vineyard. And so, Father, we pray that as we give these monies this morning, that, Father, it might be utilized and that you might multiply it for your purposes, for your kingdom, for your Zion here upon this earth. Might it go forth and might much blessings become of it. And so we ask this prayer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Ask now for your kind prayers and attention as Brother Chris shall break the bread of life unto us. Brother Chris.
As I thought about what I might share with you this morning, my mind turned to a simple illustration of a circle. As I was trying to put a pool up for the grandkids, it's a round pool, and I had to get it exactly right because I had everything level. Anything off level in this pool, it wouldn't set up right. The walls would tend to fall over. One side would have too much water. So I had to have a perfect circle and I had to get it completely flat. So in order to make this circle, I had to drive a stake in the ground, a solid stake that wouldn't move. And from that stake, then I stretched out half the distance of what I want the circle to be. And go around that and mark the ground, marked it with paint, as I went around to make this perfect circle. So as I thought about this week and as we come to remember Jesus Christ, I began to think about that illustration in reference to Jesus. Because he is the center of everything. All of prophecy that's ever been given points to Jesus Christ. Everything in history that is happening, happened already, or will happen, points to
Jesus Christ. And so if you look at this circle, this perfect circle, with Jesus at the center, an interesting thing about this is you're drawing this circle. If that point moves at any time, your circle is no longer round. It's no longer a perfect circle. And the Lord tells us that his creation is one eternal round. And I began to think about that in reference to what we have celebrated this week with Thanksgiving. As I began to read and open my scriptures, things began to help me with this illustration that I thought of, and to try to relate that to us and to where we are. Because if you think about this circle with Jesus at the very center, because when did Jesus come? In the very meridian of time, the very center of time. And so everything would then circle around Jesus Christ, if this is one eternal round, wouldn't it? And so everything that has happened in history, you can stand at that point and look to Jesus Christ. And from his point of view, he can see all of eternity. So I went to a book, and I began to read, many of you have read The Light and the Glory, God's Plan for America. And I was enthralled as I read some of these words again. And I want to read for you a few paragraphs here from this, and then I'm going to try to relate it to what I'm talking about, okay? The Church of England had grown alarmed at the rapid growth of two movements of fanatics. The first, a much larger group, claimed to be dedicated to purifying the church from within. That made them suspect from the start to the bishops, who saw nothing who needed purifying. These Puritans, as they were sarcastically dubbed, and which epithet they eventually took of their own, did, however, continue to acknowledge canonical authority. Thus, they could be easily kept from positions of responsibility and safely ignored. In the bishops' eyes, the much smaller but more dangerous element were the radicals, who thought that the Church of England was already corrupted but beyond any possibility of purification. They further believed that no person, not even the Queen, could take the title head of the Church. That belonged exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ. Having separated themselves from the state church, they now conducted their own worship as they saw fit. If allowed to continue, these separatists would soon reduce worship to primitive preaching, teaching, singing, and free praying. What a horrible thing. Thus doing away with 16 centuries of established liturgical tradition. This was the group young William Bradford had joined. At present, they numbered less than 1,000, but clearly, if this sort of thing were tolerated, other believers who spoke enthusiastically of experiencing a personal encounter with Christ might decide to follow their lead. Before long, little churches of fanatics would be popping up everywhere, with no semblance of order or conformity, and totally out of the bishop's control. Queen Elizabeth had not given the bishops the free hand which they sought to suppress this contagion before it became an epidemic. She seemed to feel that occasional executions for heresy were sufficient to hold the movement in check. But now that the vain, petty, and manipulable James I was on the throne, the bishops had their way. The separatists were hounded, bullied, forced to pay assessments to the Church of England, clapped into prison on trumped-up charges, and driven underground. They met in private homes, to which they came at staggered intervals by different routes, because they were constantly being spied upon. In the Midlands village of Scrooby, the persecution became so intense that the congregation elected to follow other separatists who had already sought religious asylum in Holland. They came to Leyden, where they were forced together by shared adversity. As near penniless foreign immigrants, they qualified for only the most menial labor and had to work terribly hard just to subsist. Bradford wrote that before becoming, they had, as the Lord's free people, joined themselves by a covenant of the Lord into a church estate in the fellowship of the gospel to walk in all his ways made known unto them according to their best endeavors, whatsoever should cost them, the Lord assisting them. It cost them dearly. By 1619, after nearly a dozen years of penurious toil, they finally decided they had to remove. And so here was this group that was experiencing the Holy Spirit working in their lives. And yet there was a force at work that would try to deter them from doing what they wanted to do and what they felt bound to do. And so their only hope at that point was to remove. And we know the rest of that story as they traveled here for the freedom that they so greatly sought out. That point in history is tied directly to Jesus Christ. And so I began to think in my mind, and as the way I think, then I began to think of other things that happened in a much similar way. And my mind was taken to Ether, chapter 2. We'll actually start in chapter 1. And Jared spoke again to his brother, saying, "Go and inquire of the Lord whether he will drive us out of the land, or if he will drive us out of the land, cry to him where we shall go. Who knows but the Lord will carry us forth into a land which is choice above all the earth." Interesting words, isn't it? "And if it so be, let us be faithful to the Lord, that we may receive it for our inheritance." If we go on down to verse 31 in Ether chapter 1. "Now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatever nation shall possess it shall serve God, for they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath will come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that possesseth it shall serve God, or shall be swept off." And verse 35, "Behold, this is a choice land, and whatever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who has been manifested by the things which we have written." Again, Jesus Christ at the center of this circle in my mind, from that standpoint and that point of view, this time being some 4,800 years prior to the experience that these pilgrims that made the journey had. Let's go to 1 Nephi chapter 5. And in this, I'm going to take some assumptions that we know that Lehi has been directed by the Lord to take his family out from Jerusalem because the destruction of Jerusalem is imminent, and he's supposed to follow the Lord's commands. In verse 61, we read these words, "And we sojourned for the space of many years, even 8 years in the wilderness. And we came to the land which we called Bountiful because of its much fruit and also wild honey. And we called the place Bountiful because of its much fruit. After I, Nephi, had been in the land of Bountiful for the space of many days, the voice of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Arise and get thee into the mountain.' And I arose and went up into the mountain and cried to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, 'Thou shalt construct a ship after the manner which I shall show thee, that I may carry thy people across these waters.'" And verse 80, "And the Lord also said, 'After ye have arrived at the promised land, ye shall know that I, the Lord God, and I, the Lord, am God, and that I, the Lord, delivered you from destruction, that I brought you out from the land of Jerusalem.'" So here we see two separate migrations, two separate times in history when the Lord was preserving his people, when the Lord was making it possible for them to worship him in the way that the Spirit had taught them they should worship. And they were able to do so freely
because of the hand of God, and because of this one eternal round of Jesus, of God's creation, we can see that all of these things work together for the good of those who love Him. And that any time along that timeline that we think of as this circle, in my mind, we see Jesus Christ at the center. It was their desire to worship in the name of Jesus. It was their desire to do the things that they've been taught and instructed to do. And all of those things pointed to Jesus Christ. Let's go to Exodus in the scriptures. Beginning with verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, a choice land. The promise has always been that if we keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, He will lead us and preserve us and bring us to a place where we can do the things that He requires us to do. A place where we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's other instances in the scriptures. I could go through all of these, but I think you get my point this morning. Hopefully you get my point. Sometimes my points are hard to follow. For me, I see the point in the middle of that circle, that stake driven in the ground that cannot move. We know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we place our faith in Him and our trust in Him, then we will be led to the places that we should go. So in the latter days, we have something to look forward to as well, don't we? Because He tells us that He will bring us to a place of refuge and safety, a place of learning, and a place that the word will go forth from. And we know that as the kingdom of God, the land of Zion. And so all of these times that we look at on this timeline, this circle, have pointed to Jesus Christ, but have brought His people to a better place, a land of promise, a choice land above all lands, that we might be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you say there are those that haven't come here. Promise it is that all that will can come when the time when He makes that available to those that will be coming. And so that will happen. So we look at all these points along that timeline. We think about all of those instances when God not only preserved His people, but He brought them to a place where they could experience the freedom to worship Him in the way that the Spirit had taught them they should. But also that Jesus Christ is the center and the purpose for all of those things, driving force in all of that. We're here today for one reason and one reason only. And that's to remember Jesus Christ. So I think it's good that we think about Him as the center of that time. Good that we think about Him in all of these things that have taken place. His place in our worship, or His place in our celebration of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and all these things that we think about are based upon Jesus Christ
As we consider and we think about the coming forth of Zion, we've talked this morning a great deal about some of those things. And as you talked, I was thinking about some of these scriptures that I had written down that I might share with you in reference to that. Because as people who live in the latter days, this will be our sojourn. This will be our being led to his place where he wants us to be as we come to Zion. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In 2 Nephi chapter 8. Verse 18, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And finally in Micah, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And we will be his people. And he will be our God.
We have been refueled this day. We need to go forth and share that witness of Jesus Christ to all those we come in contact with. Let us in closing, use hymn number 117, to us a child of hope is born. And then our pastor, Elder Val Brotherton, will bring us our closing prayer and benediction. 117.
Death shall guard his throne.
Our Father and our God, as we have sung of this Jesus Christ and how all things praise him, all things were made by him. And Father, even as he is the center of our salvation, may he be the center of our lives. May we, Father, always seek to keep our eyes upon him. May we not be as Peter was, who started to walk, but then took his eye off of Christ. Father, even as we have partaken of the sacrament this morning, we have centered our lives once more upon him. Help us, Father, to remain in the center with him. As we are enticed by those things of the world and by our thoughts and passions, may we not yield, even as Christ did not yield and showed us an example. Lord, help us to be very mindful of the fact that the day in which we live is a very important and great time. It is the time just before the return of your Son. Help us, Father, to recognize that that which we do can have great bearing upon the establishment of your kingdom here on this earth. May we remember those that have gone before and that have paid such a price that we might be able to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. Help us not to be quick to forget, but to be steadfast and immovable, even as our brother Chris shared with us that pin in the center was steadfast. We recognize, Father, that that which we do, if it is done for any other reason than to glorify thy Son and our Father which is in heaven, that which we do is on seeking sand. Help us, Father, to always remember, to never forget that you are our rock, our foundation, and our salvation. Help us to be strong. Help us to endure to the end, that thy kingdom, as it comes forth, we may be found worthy to enter in. For we ask this in the worthy name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.